All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It's Wednesday, Pump Day, July 23rd edition of the Jason and John Show. And boy, we got passionate, strong takes, suggestions, plans of action to talk about today. Not just the death of a franchise here in Memphis. And really, I guess we can't say death, it's the relocation, isn't it?
This is a long tugboat.
Let that thing play. May as well play out that whole horn, because showboat's heading on down the river. The show is closed.
That it is.
Moment of silence, real quick, John, for the Yacht Club. Thank you.
Tough.
They put in more than Showboat's head coaches did.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many members that were in the Yacht Club, but they showed up, didn't they?
At least 100.
That's amazing.
They were written about in the Daily Memphian, I believe. I read the story.
Yeah. Well,
maybe hundreds of
look,
them.
Look, I predicted they would last one season. They lasted three. So that's three times longer than I believe they would last. And so, you know, congratulations, I guess, on that. But we know why the Showboats are leaving. I mean, it's not like it's some big, great big mystery. It's because of crime.
Right.
The crime down there near the Liberty Bowl. So we ain't going to put our players in bad spots. No, the players didn't even live here, as you know.
Arlington.
Yeah.
Texas.
Not a single cent of tax was paid to the Memphis City or Shelby County by these players.
There was a hot second, maybe 30 of them, that I thought they were living in Arlington, Tennessee.
I know. It would have been nice, man. I mean, honestly, if we're going to do the eulogy, you know, which we'll do later, I think that was a big part. I think that was a big reason why.
Threw us off early.
You know, they were never really connected or ingrained in the city, bro. They played here once. They came here once a week, if that, and that's it.
Arlington, Texas?
Got right back on the Greyhound and went home.
They come in on game day.
They come in on game day, bro. So anyway, Showboats are gone. I think mostly as expected, whether it was this year or next year or whenever. Nobody was under the impression that this was going to be a thing long for the world, and it indeed was not. So we'll talk about that today. We have a big show. Paul Feinbaum is going to join us at 11:25.
Hey.
I said, Paul, $251 million right now. Can you lobby for us for the SEC? And I did not get a response on that, but he did agree to come on the show. He did agree to come on the show. I said,
we'll,
Brad.
We'll take that.
Brad will work out the financials with you later on that appearance fee. But he will join us at 11:25, and obviously we will talk to him about Memphis and his future, and just, you know, his perspective on what he thinks they should do, why they weren't allowed into the Big East to the Big 12, basically. Then of course we'll get into the SEC. You know, his man, Arch Manning. I might have to fight him over Arch. We may have to come to blows.
You might have to.
Because I'm trying to figure out who's the bigger fan, me or Paul. So anyway, he'll join us at 11:25. Always amazing to catch up with the legend. He'll join us in the next segment. And then at 1:25, Team Thad coach and program director Norton Hurd IV is going to join us. We'll obviously talk about what happened at the Peach Jam.
Mm.
I believe it was certainly an unceremonious performance. I think that would be the nice way to put it. They did not win the Peach Jam. They did not get a pool play.
Got out of pool play.
Okay, they got out of pool play to get to Peach Jam.
Went 1-4. Well, no, didn't get out of pool play.
Did not get out of pool play.
I'm calling pool play the session.
Correct.
They got out of the session.
Correct.
On play. Didn't get out of pool play.
Right.
You're right. 1-4.
Yeah, 1-4 in the Peach Jam.
Right.
And then, that's
session pool,
right.
Real deal.
That's right. Because now that they've changed the way it works now.
But yes, we've got it.
But
and you're right. They did not advance out of pool play.
Yeah.
1-4. Won the first game against Beal and then lost the rest of them.
Yeah.
So questions to be answered.
Questions to be answered. Although, again, I think, I don't want to speak for him, but I think he had hyped that matchup up so much because it was against his favorite player ever in Bradley Beal. And once he got over it, there was nothing left in the tank. That would be my that would just be my read on.
Maybe that's the reason.
He had to beat Bradley Beal.
Beal responded. Them folks, I don't think lost another game.
They won, PJ?
I don't know if they won it, but I think they went 4-1 the rest of the way. They advanced to the Elite Eight. I don't know who ended up winning the thing, but they responded to that first opening loss in pool play to Thad, while Thad ended up flaming out. It was weird.
They won. That's the only team that Team Thad beat, the champs of Tough Thumb Peach Jam. They beat the former Memphis Tiger assistant coaching legend Andy Borman's former group, the New York Wrens.
The Wrens.
75-55.
I can't explain it, how you beat Beal and then you lose the next four and you don't make it out of pool play.
That's kind
of
nuts.
And then Beal responds by winning the whole thing. Now, I knew when you beat them, they were one of the big contenders, and that's what had given Thad hope the rest of the way coming out of the sessional play.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Oh, boy. I'm sure Herd's got a story. Yeah. Maybe you'd... remember when they added Naquan Tomlin to the Tigers team?
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't they add one late? Now, Herd's used to that, but didn't they add LJ late?
I thought he...
LJ Smith, or is he there
the whole time? He was here for the Memphis one, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Last couple
sessions. I don't know if that counts as late.
He was here for the Memphis when I saw him there, but what... That would be halfway through.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe there's a little bit more.
Well, we'll get the postmortem.
Yeah.
From
another year. We didn't get it.
That's right. So anyway, Norton Herd will join us at 125. So that is the show today. But I think we've taken, 24 hours to grieve and to exhale and to, have our moment to ourselves where we kick and scream into the pillow over not getting allowed into the Big 12 despite this gargantuan offer. And now it's about, what do we do now? What does Memphis do now? Couple of things. Part of the podcast has a piece up at the Daily Memphian about attendance, turnstile count. That's what we talk about all the time, right? Announced attendance is a fugazi number. That's just tickets that have been fully distributed. It's really, when it comes to that payout, when it comes to the real, how is this program faring, we use turnstile count as a gauge. And while I wouldn't sit up here and try to tell you that Memphis's non-conference turnstile was great, it was definitively better than what happened after that calendar turned to January. Mm-hmm. You lose basically, 15-20% of your audience once you go to non-conference, once you go from non-conference to conference play. And the Americans from it's 7,200 to 6,000, roughly. We could do the math, but my guess is that it's going to come out to 15-20%. And I think a lot of that was inflated by that one South Florida game at the end of the year. I think they broke 10,000 there. Maybe it was a senior night or something like that. Outside of that, it was consistently 6,000 or lower. And I think we knew that, Jason. I don't think that's going to come as some shock to us, but it does sort of spell bro, people check out of this thing when the non-conference slate is done for basketball in a major way. You can't afford to lose 15-20% of your audience every damn year. I mean, that's not does that happen anywhere else? Most programs, when they get a conference play, it ramps up, if anything.
Right.
People can start getting excited. Memphis was in the top 25 the entire step of the way. So you can't sit up here and say, if Memphis would have just been better, if Memphis would have just been, what were they like? 20, they had 3 losses going into conference play. That was it. They were 10-3. So what more could they have done, to give Memphis fans a reason to come down during? I think it's just a message. It continues to be sent. We don't want to see you play jabronis from January to, we're not coming downtown to watch that. And I think it sets up sort of the next phase of this, which is, what does Memphis do? Because it clearly seems to me that staying in the American is not a viable option for basketball based on these numbers that I think would only get worse.
Yeah. There's nothing here for me to – I would encourage you to go on with the point of what Memphis should do point.
Okay, yeah.
Because there's no point for me here to say anything. Everything that you've said is fact.
Right.
We've known this is a dying, and it's particularly basketball conference.
Right.
And I think Memphis's offer to the Big 12 shows you how they acknowledge that
100%.
And how desperate they obviously are.
So given that air of desperation,
yes,
what should and what could they do? I think, then this is not the John Martin plan. This has been reported by multiple national media members. Dan Wolken has talked about it, and Pete Thamel referenced it as recently as last month. But I think your only option right now, Because I don't know where you are on it, Jason, but I think the word is sort of out on Memphis in the Power Four right now. You're not getting in. The Big 12 said no. I don't think the ACC is going to let you in either. I don't think academically they're going to stomach that. Even though I think it's unfair because I think Memphis has come a long way.
Yeah.
I think the perception of Memphis is just that, you know, the idea of them sharing a conference with Duke and North Carolina and all those, Cal, Stanford, I don't see it. So what do you do? I don't know what the actual final number is, but I think you take a lot of that money that you were willing to give to the Big 12 mm-hmm. and you bribe the Big East with it. And you say, listen, we know that this, that, and the other happened. We know that blah, blah, blah. We'll commit to this, that, and the other over 5 years, yeah. same way you were going to do with the Big 12, and we'll give you basketball, and we'll immediately improve your conference because yeah. the bottom of your conference stinks. I know they're going to have more money this year for NIL, but they still stink. And so Memphis comes in. The value that they add is that's another tournament team. That's another $2 million off the rip just by us being here, right? Mm-hmm. So we assume they'd be a tournament team 3 of the last 4 years. I think it's a good bet. So we bring you more tournament units. We bring you a brand. Rick Pitino has already lobbied for you in the last 6 months. You know, that's right. a good thing. You have champions there. And, you know, again, we're going to give you $150 million. I don't know if that's the number, but, you know, we can talk about that number. Meanwhile, football goes, we're going to go back to the Pac-12. We're going to have those negotiations again. And then what we're going to do, and this is not making Memphis football a footnote by any means. It's actually making their path to the playoff a little clearer because now you definitively make the Pac-12 the best of the rest. Mm-hmm. Right now you're kind of like pulling both sides with the AAC and the Pac-12.
Right.
So if Memphis goes over, we're not going to have that debate.
Starting in 2026,
exactly.
to your point. You're
yeah.
competing with them for the group of six spot.
Right, yeah. because Boise got in over whoever it was this year. I don't remember who won the – I guess it was Army, right?
Mm-hmm.
Army was never in that mix.
Right.
You know, Tulane, you know, is always a good program, but if you just go by odds, Boise State's plus 190 to make the playoff this year. Tulane's 8-1.
Mm-hmm.
So significantly, you know, worse, yeah. right? So I think if Memphis goes over, well, that's two of the top three every year in the same league. UNLV hired Dan Mullen.
Right.
They're going to be strong.
I would think so.
So I think consolidating the group of six, definitively making the Pac-12 the best in football, and stopping the hemorrhaging for basketball in the Big East. And look, I know people don't like the idea of sending all that money to the Big East, but, dude, you got to do something, right? What being idle is not an option.
Where I would start on this, and we Ed's already talked about a potential, what a split could do and look like, right? I mean,
yep.
because we've discussed this, so this isn't new news. But the folks that have said so far to the Martin plan or whatever we're calling this, and to your point, others have talked about it. It's not my plan.
It's
kind of like the Marshall Plan, though, so I kind of like that.
I'm kind of getting it, yeah.
Here's the thing that have said, well, this is like the way Memphis has always thought, right? Basketball first. You're trying to save your basketball program first, getting it to the Big East, because that passion you're talking about is basically rooted in how basketball is dying.
Correct.
We're in a decent football conference. You made $11
yes.
million last year. That's it. Here's where they're pushing back on this, saying it's a basketball first decision. When what you said there at the end is the most interesting thing to me. The football conference you'd be putting them in. Obviously, and you'd have to fly them out some places.
Right.
It'll cost you some money.
It is.
And there is a competitive disadvantage
we've seen
so far for some of these folks that are having to fly cross-country, whatever it is.
Yep.
Maybe for you, it's not quite as cross-country. Point is,
right.
it's not necessarily a putting football back in the back seat decision here because, like you said, you're getting in there with Boise State and probably in a conference where you're going to have, yes, every year the best shot. If Tulane doesn't come in,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be really the only ones left competing with
That's
you
right.
out of that AAC spot.
That's
and
right.
how good is that conference going to be when Tulane doesn't have a shot at Memphis every year?
Like 100%.
So the issue I have first that with folks that are pushing back on your idea that this is old school, right? This is always putting back, just like when Louisville left us and Louisville decided, hey, we're going to get off basketball a little bit, go football. Look at the difference there. Memphis decided to keep playing back. All those folks that are trying to throw this in at you and say it's old school thinking, not necessarily because, again, you could have a better football future.
Yes.
And we got to get used to playing Boise State. Hell, they're already on your schedule
they
in terms of non-conference.
Yeah, that's right.
We can get up for the Boise State games, whatever else, especially if they're
for a
group of five spot ultimate.
I mean, every year it should be a group of five
spot in the playoff. I got to start getting used to saying group of six because that's what it's going to be in 2026.
But really, if Memphis goes over, it's group of one, bro.
It kind of is. Tulane, I would say, just because they've shown an investment level that says they're serious
about
– but again, how hurt is – is AAC football. You
well,
just got
Tulane. Maybe they come over with you.
Perhaps because you need another one,
that's
don't
right.
you, still?
That's right. So
perhaps
they could say, hey,
no, well, that goes,
we're not leaving
we're
without you.
Get to that. So I would just say, folks that are tuning this out rarely about this split early and saying, well, it's putting basketball first and you're only trying to say basketball. No, I think it does something that's potentially very good still for football. We can still say, well, you're in a decent football conference. It might still be better than what the Pac-12 is going to be. But once you go over, and if you could bring Tulane, you got the best thing going. Whoever wins it's getting the playoff
undeniably.
Spot while that playoff spot exists.
Because, like, there's a
while
world where
spot
Memphis wins the American this year and still is left out of the playoff because Boise
heard
had a
heard you
better...
say that to Jeff, and it's 100% correct.
I mean, that would suck. Because then you're the seventh best league.
It could have happened last year.
100%. It could have happened. It would have happened.
Because Boise played Oregon tight.
That's right. I feel like there was one other game. Maybe it's along the line there that they won,
and the credit they were going to give you for the Florida State win was nothing.
By the end of it,
so it could have happened last year if you'd won it and
That's
done
right.
what you were supposed to do. It
That's
still
right.
could have happened, and we said that from the get go.
Yep.
But control what you can, which is winning the conference.
That's right.
You jump over like you said in football, and that's what I would say. I don't think anybody's saying that. Is that this isn't necessarily a basketball first move to save it. You can have a higher ceiling.
That's
it
right.
feels like in football because
That's right.
the landscape would change. What you're saying, Power Four. They've said no to us.
Yep.
I mean, ultimately, Big 12's laughed at you a few times here. They've embarrassed
you. I'm done with that.
Now, again, I'd still be interested in ACC, but the truth is Big 12 might be waiting on that thing to
get the
rest of that mess.
That's right. And the ACC, I highly doubt, is going to come at it like, oh, let's get Memphis so that let's be offensive and get Memphis to protect against that. They're going to just kind of wait back and see, it feels like to me. Like, I don't think it would be a bad move for them to do that and sort of like try to telegraph that, like, hey, we know we're kind of going to lose some teams, but I just don't think they're there.
All that said, John, and I think we've made some important parts about on football. This isn't some step back or throwing in the back seat. You can be right there at the forefront.
This makes their playoff appearance more likely.
And we've saying you need to be competing with Boise State as your peer. You
That's
need
right.
to be in that spot every
That's
year
right.
because of your investment level.
Yes.
You're going right in the conference with them.
That's
Think
right.
about those games. Those conference games in football, well, actually, kind of, you can tell yourself it's not just for
yes.
the conference title. It's for the spot in the group.
And they've already got the home and home with them, so I don't want to hear about the travel because you already have that.
Brad's got Mullen over there at UNLV.
I mean, who wouldn't want to go to Vegas?
He'll be gone by that time.
He
by the
will,
time.
But I mean,
we get in and everything.
Barry Odom had it going.
But again, all that said, I need to see the numbers. You
That's
can't
true.
Go on passion alone.
That's true.
You know, what the PAC was offering initially was a slap in the face, $2.5 million to help
yeah.
pay a $25 million exit fee from the AAC. You know, you need to see the numbers. That's where I would stop short.
For sure.
Let me see how it looks.
Yeah.
You know, because here's what it's going to cost me to fly football across the
oh,
country.
Oh, yeah, no question.
And my football program's been operating at a pretty high level. They're not winning conference titles. Jason and John say it every day. But they're operating at a pretty high level in this conference.
Yep.
Are they going to be in a disadvantage
no,
flying
I
them across? Are they going to start losing games because they're tired
no,
every
look,
damn week?
It's a calculus
All that's
because
factor
Memphis
in.
Basketball will be at a disadvantage as well because they won't have as much money to give their players as Big East teams will do right now because they don't. But at this point, I'm like, I would rather be at a disadvantage in a better league than be at an advantage in this.
So I'd like to see the numbers on this.
Yeah,
because it could be good for football, too.
100%.
That's the part about your plan that could work out. People are throwing back and saying, oh, this is just basketball. No!
Yeah.
Potentially, it's great for Memphis football.
Yes.
Maybe the highest ceiling you can
Absolutely.
Get outside the power structure.
And the power structure
now,
continues to remind you every single time you try that you are not in. You are not allowed in.
Well, and you won't be allowed in with the ACC as it currently looks either, probably. That you're a backup.
Yeah, that's right.
What the four has shown you, you're a backup plan, if anything.
That's right.
And typically, you're not on that list either.
Any ACC you end up getting in is probably not going to have autonomy status.
I mean, it's all about getting to that big promised land TV money.
That's right.
That's why, when Ed got here, he's acknowledged, well, it's about getting to the power structure and about getting to the Big 12 of the ACC. He said it out loud.
That's right.
And we don't know that the ACC is like, okay, we took SMU, we did business with them. Do you realize Paul Feinbaum, who we'll have, and we need to wrap this up.
Yeah.
I heard him today.
Yeah.
How about SMU?
Yeah.
Because Lashley was just out comparing them to the SEC. But he called them the most corrupt football program in college football history. They still allowed SMU to buy its
That's
way
right.
in.
That's true. That's true.
Right? It's like what they like to think of you
oh,
and
yeah.
your basketball, your rebel basketball program
That's right.
that should have been shut down a long time ago. but your money ain't good enough.
That's right.
Like it was for SMU,
yep.
A football program had to be shut down.
Yep.
Folks were, you know, you talk about an embarrassment, what they were doing down there at that time.
Yeah.
And yet that money was good enough for them.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they would.
You know?
Maybe they would.
That's why, again, I have to at least exhaust everything
sure.
within my power with sure. the ACC. I don't know where they're at, 17 teams, whatever it is
yeah.
right now. I have to try to exhaust everything. Make sure that that's dead.
Right. No,
that,
call,
hey, this money
call.
Ain't no good.
Call. Give it a
and
shot.
And that's what I'd call them. I'd say, oh, well, SMU's money was good enough for you, but my money ain't good enough for you.
Right. And you're offering more.
It's the exactly.
So, I mean, I just am operating under the assumption that they would
that
not
they
say yes.
I know.
But it certainly doesn't hurt to call.
I think even in your plan, there's still a good football future. That's why I'd like to see the numbers on that as well, because maybe there is a, you know, again, all sports, Big East, other than football
right.
goes Pac-12.
That's right.
I want to see the numbers. I like the plan.
Yeah.
And I like it for both sides.
No question. I mean.
That's where I come in.
There's upside for both. You know, I really do believe that. It's not what ideally we would have just gotten in the Big 12. Everybody gets in the Big 12, but that's not the world we're in.
Can't just jump, though, without seeing the numbers.
Yeah.
My man, we were ready to go.
Yeah.
Right? Pac-12 initially, man, it was a slap. That offer was a slap in the face because you can get a better deal. You
yeah.
can.
Yeah.
Things do change.
I think so.
And maybe now Pac-12 looking at you like, look, we could still use some.
That investment they see.
And if now we could pull Memphis and Tulane, because Tulane sees Memphis going,
right.
and all of a sudden, what are they left with? So now we're pulling two
that's
that
right.
are real serious about football. You got something even better in that conference that's competing basically for a playoff spot every year.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to get Paul Feinbaum's thoughts on this, on Memphis college football this year and more. Stick around. Jason and John, I'm trying to find yes. Paul Feinbaum is in Memphis, and he's a host of the Paul Feinbaum Show. Catch him on ESPN. He is a friend of the show. He joins us now. Paul, honestly, I wish we were meeting under better circumstances, but thanks for being here.
No, well, thank you. No, I'm as sad as everybody listening right now is.
By the way, we'll get to the I'm sure you're wondering why you're being introduced to the Texas fight song.
sorry about that. Yeah.
But we'll address that later in the segment. Yeah, so it's been a tough week. You know, Memphis for so many years, as you know, Paul, has been told the things it needs to do to get to the other side. They need to improve their academics. They've done that. They need to improve football. They've done that. They need to improve their stadium. Well, they're doing that. And not only do they attempt to get an invitation from the Big 12, they are willing to pay upwards of $200 million, forego conference revenue for 5 years, doing things that we just never fathomed the University of Memphis could do. And they still didn't even get a vote on acceptance into this league. What do you make of all of this?
It's really an absolute disgrace. And it's a disgrace because Memphis could easily and most definitely help a league that virtually nobody even knows exists. I say at the front end, and you guys already know it because you introduced me. I mean, I'm from Memphis. I haven't lived in Memphis for 50 years, so it's not like I've been cheering on the Tigers all these times. I have from a distance, but I've been a lot of places, and I know what that community is, and I know what that school means to this community. And I look around the Big 12, and I think of Houston. You think anybody in Houston, you know, outside of a couple of basketball fans, knows that the Houston football program exists? I mean, I've been to Houston a million times. You go to Florida, UCF. It's a good school, but Florida is about Florida State and Florida. You know, Baylor. I mean, is in a market that's very small. But Arizona, it's professional. And it's the same way across that league. I'll spare the audience my dissertation. Where in Memphis, it would matter. People would. It would be the number one. Memphis would be the number one school. And most of the places in the Big 12 can't count that. So I just think it's idiotic. But then again, Brett Yormark is really a failed commissioner. I mean, he went in there selling everybody on his credentials in the entertainment world, and all the Big 12 has done has slipped deeper and deeper into the abyss. I mean, you've let the ACC move ahead of you. which is not why they paid you millions of dollars. You have a couple of TV deals, but nobody thinks about you. It's all about the Big Ten and the SEC, and the ACC has some contenders, and the Big 12 had Coach Prime and his son and Travis Hunter, and they don't even have that anymore.
If you had to guess, why do you think this didn't even get to a vote from the Big 12 presidents?
Well, because, I mean, these leagues are run by commissioners, and the commissioner, to me, probably killed it before it got there, because otherwise it should have been voted on. Presidents aren't interested in some of the same things that commissioners are. Presidents care about academics. They care about the overall facility. They care about the university. They care about what the school means. And by the way, I was in Memphis a year ago speaking to the Touchdown Club, and they took me by the stadium, and I was shocked. I mean, I had not been there in a long time. I mean, that stadium is top notch. The people of Memphis have really gone all out. And you can't spill, cry over spilled milk. I mean, it feels like we were here a couple of years ago in a similar situation, and I said some of the same things, except that Memphis was the community had not gotten as involved. I'm almost at a loss for words, which is unusual for me. But I think your mark does not look at Memphis as an entertainment capital. He looks at Memphis as something in the past. Now, the one thing I don't know, guys, and I don't even want to open up this can of worms, but sometimes perceptions get hardened, and who knows what all the Stephen A. Smith controversy, whether that, race paths your mark's eyes, and he just decided we're not going there. I don't want to approach it, but I think it's time for Memphis to move on, find someplace better, figure out a way to make this university more relevant from an athletic standpoint in both football and basketball. And I'm pretty sure that's going on right now.
So, our operating assumption here is that it's hard earned. I think our assumptions, Paul, as you know, but our assumptions are here that the ACC would not really be very privy or open to accepting Memphis. Duke and Cal and Stanford and those schools of that ilk probably would rather cease operations before sharing an athletic department with Memphis. Fair or not, I just think that is the reality. So if, by the way, do you agree with that, or do you think maybe that's an old way of thinking?
I do agree with that. Because when I was in Memphis, one of my times recently, I talked to a Memphis official. We had a conversation about the ACC. The only thing about the ACC I will say is the commissioner of the ACC is a little more open-minded. He's not, he's an institutionalist. He worked at Tennessee. He actually got his doctorate at Tennessee. He was at Northwestern. So I think he has a better understanding of community and athletics than Jay-Z's former agent. I think it's a long shot, but I will offer that SMU did a lot of similar things. Yep. and they bought. And there's still this, and the reason why SMU and Cal and Stanford got in, because the ACC is pretty convinced they're going to lose a few schools in the future. So I think I wouldn't give up on the ACC. For all the criticism, I don't need to tell you guys about the basketball heritage. It's a great brand, and I think from a basketball standpoint, it would really matter. I also think it's a league that Memphis could do very well in, mm-hmm. and it's not very far away, which I do like as opposed, well, other than other than a few places. But I would not give up on that. And I'll say this again. I think to forget the snobbery of Cal and Berkeley. There's some pretty average academic places in the ACC. What the ACC really wants are, places that matter. And I think Memphis gives them that. It's worth a shot. That's all I'll say.
Well, I'm with you on stopping for a second just to sort of you know, measure where they are because, and you touched on this, Paul, it was about Rhett Lashley and what he's saying about SEC, but the SMU part of this, I mean, you're the most corrupt program in the history of college football. Yeah, I mean, that's their history. You touched on that this morning in another conversation, but it's still the point. And here's the thing, you just pointed to history. You guys did business with them, right? With SMU that has this history, and you're telling us our money isn't good enough for you, and maybe that number, right, is different than it was with the Big 12, but you have to approach it that way. You guys just did business with SMU, and we know they, you know, they had that rebel rogue history as well. I mean, otherwise, what are you holding us out for?
I think it's worth it. Yeah, I mean, a couple of years ago, I really thought I felt some momentum about that, and I still do. The ACC is in a defensive mode.
Yep.
I think they're pragmatists there. I mean, they have a great relationship. Obviously, they're connected to ESPN. That matters. I don't even know where you can watch a Big 12 game. I swear. I know they have a deal with ESPN. They have a deal with other people, but I could not tell you. Nor would I really outside of Colorado last year. Why would you watch one of their games? Seriously. So I would get a group together from the best and the brightest of Memphis, and I think you guys know where to go there, and at least ask for a meeting. I personally know Jim Phillips very well. He's a friend of mine. I'm not saying that because it doesn't matter in this case, but he's the kind of guy, their offices are in Charlotte. They would take a meeting because I think they have to make sure they are covered.
Right.
In the event that pure chaos occurs, which I think it will. Clemson, Florida State. And back to SMU. SMU bought their way in. SMU is in a spending mode. They just went out and hired the University of Texas president. I mean, is that possible? They did.
Yep.
Because they, everybody used to talk about blood money at Baylor. You talk about a reputation, but a football stadium was built with blood money. SMU is no different, and I'm really glad I was able to say that. Because, by the way, Lashley, not to get close to home,
yeah.
Lashley, I can tell you, and you guys probably know this, is working behind the scenes, using his minions, undermining Sam Pittman right now, which is fine. I mean, he's not going to make it to get that job. So while he's working to undermine a current sitting SEC head coach, he is out there at media days in a prepared statement trashing the SEC. I can't wait for him to come to the league. Can you?
I will say Sam's not doing himself any favors here.
No. I mean, you didn't hear me defending him. I'm just stating that while he's out there trashing the SEC, he's trying to get in.
Yeah, trying to get on.
No, of course. Exactly. That's true. We're talking to Paul Finebaum, seen daily, of course, on the SEC Network, ESPN Radio, Memphian. Listen, I hope that the ACC is receptive to that. I truly do, because it's just a little easier. They have autonomy status. That's what everybody is in pursuit of, that autonomy status. But let me throw this at you, Paul, because Memphis basketball is dying a slow death in the American. And I know that these decisions are driven by football. I'll get to that. But my plan, we've called it the Martin plan. It's really not my plan, but it's been talked about, even by Pete Tham. We wrote about it last month. Would be splitting Memphis football up with Memphis basketball. I would take some of that bribe money that I was willing to give to the Big 12. I would send it to the Big East for basketball. And then I would take my Memphis football program, consolidate in a way the group of six, and I'd send it out west to the Pac-12. And I would know that I control my own destiny in this current college football playoff. Whoever wins that league is getting that spot. What do you make of that plan?
I like it very much because, unfortunately, the two don't really go together. And I'm saying that from a pretty good distance here. But Memphis basketball deserves better. And I falsely and inaccurately predicted national championships for Penny Hardaway. You will not get that from me today, I assure you. But the Big East is a very hot conference. I mean, Rick Pitino a couple of months ago started conversations about that, about the Big East ACC some combo plan, and he got traction. I mean, I'm sitting there one morning talking to Mike Greenberg about it, because Pitino matters whether you like him or not. And one thing about Pitino, he knows Memphis. He understands it.
Yep.
And that's the problem with a bullheaded, arrogant, narcissistic commissioner like Brett Yormark. He just doesn't get it. Yeah, I mean he heard of he probably heard of Elvis in the music industry, and I'm sure he's acutely aware of Justin Timberlake and a few others, but they were probably never his clients, so therefore they don't exist in his world.
Would you agree that the winner of that football conference, whatever it is, if it's still Group of Six, whatever else, but that PAC winner would be the for long as that spot exists, right, for that G5, G6 yeah. spot with Boise State and Memphis and UNLV that right now looks like it's going to invest in football. And maybe, Paul, where is it, 8 right now? Maybe you need to pull in Tulane because they're scared if Memphis leaves the American, they'd be left dead. But doesn't that football conference look like the one that would assumedly get that spot?
Oh, he would be grandfathered in. And by the way, I mean, I was raising Kane. Why are they even being included with two? But to their credit, unlike the Big 12, which has just kind of gone on a buying spree, kind of like your drunk 15-year-old wrecks your car before he even gets it out of the driveway, it matters because it has a name. And right. There are a lot of people. There are a lot of people that have no earthly idea that the Pac-12 doesn't really exist in its former state. I mean, I don't need to tell you. You do a talk show every day talking to callers.
Yeah, talking to Paul Feinbaum here on Jason and John. Nice enough to join us. Now, look, we haven't had the pleasure of meeting Paul, but I may have to, find your whereabouts before the season gets started, so we can just have it out about who's the bigger fan of Arch. Because, I'm ready to crown the Longhorns. I'm ready to crown Arch. I mean, some of the balls that he threw last year against Louisiana Lafayette, I was saying on the show, Quinn, get this clown, Quinn Ewers, out of the game and get a real quarterback in there. Are you believing, are you buying the hype about the Longhorns and Arch?
Yeah, I walked around at halftime at Jerry's World last year, and you guys, I'm sure, have been there. But on the field, they have a lot of boxes. And I bet I got stopped 15 times by some 18-year-old son of a billionaire wearing a cowboy hat and boots saying, hey, Feinbaum, how come Arch isn't in the game? And I was thinking the exact same thing, except Sarkisian is a brilliant coach, but he had a weak spot. Who knows why? Nobody understands coach-quarterback relationships. But he calls himself a legitimate shot at the national championship. I mean, that game came down to the one-yard line anyway. Before Quinn Ewers blew up and ended his career in embarrassing fashion. Arch, and people argue about Arch. I've been on ESPN countless times, and they talk about the same three or four things. The Mississippi State game, the UTSA, those games aren't a factor. Watch at the end of August when he goes up to Columbus. He's going to win that game. I don't have a doubt. You guys know the Manning family. And it's not because entirely the Manning family. But it is part of who he is. This kid's been geared toward, I'd say bred, but then I'm getting in trouble with somebody. But that's exactly what is going on here. And you don't have to believe me or you. Believe people who actually know. He is one of a kind. When I used the Tebow comparison, everybody came after me and said, well, did you forget about Joe Burrows or Cam Newton, Baker? No, of course not. I'm not saying right now. You can't argue right now. But come back in a few weeks. Come back at the end of the season. Come back at the end of his career. He will be in that rarefied air of Tebow.
Educate me, Paul, on how warm or not Hugh Freeze's seat is. Because, I mean, back then, there was a day when here from Memphis, we looked at Auburn, we said, well, they have national championship aspirations, and expectations. And so it must happen quickly. He's going into year 3. How are Auburn folks feeling about Hugh Freeze?
It's scorching hot for this reason. Back in February, if you had asked me, I would say Hugh Freeze has a lot of momentum. Recruiting's going well. Everything's going well. NIL's going well. And then this summer happened. And I know I'm going to sound like a lot of pundits, but in the month of June, you guys play golf, he turned in 11 scores on his USGA handicap. I mean, that means that he filed it into the machine at the golf club. That's not counting the fact that maybe 5 or 6 times he was in a hurry and didn't do it. And by the way, if he's smart, which I doubt, he's aware that somebody is going to look this up. I mean, by the way, we all know about how transparent Hugh Freeze has been his entire career. I mean, I don't need to tell you guys, he worked in Memphis. Okay. He worked down the street. And he has really turned people off. And instead of just saying, hey, listen, I love golf and I'm going through a lot of things and it's my pastime. he doubled down and said, basically, he actually said this about me. He said, Paul Feinbaum doesn't know anything about recruiting. You know what? He may be right. I'm not sure he does, because he's getting blown up on every recruit that it comes down to Alabama, Auburn, and Georgia. He's lost recruits who have committed. Look, I think they've had a good couple of weeks. They've gone from 87th in one of the recruiting polls to 69th.
Oh man.
You're the best, Paul.
Thank you so much, Paul, really appreciate you
coming on and visiting with us. I hope to do it again soon.
Pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Here's Paul Feinbaum. My man was on one today.
Yes, sir. Lashley and Hugh Freeze.
And your Mark
did too.
Yeah. That was the big three today. He said he's this former Jay-Z agent. I don't know a damn thing about college sports. That's why I thought the money would have worked on him. And I think that's why Memphis assumed the same, is that that's the money he talks. That's the language he talks, is money.
You don't think he's one of the reasons why they were misled? Is that maybe the commission is saying one thing, but he doesn't have the presidents? The presidents are talking behind the commission's back, a guy who some folks look at it, Brett Yormark, they say he's not smart. Do you think about those presidents and doing things behind his back because they don't feel like...
I gotta say that what I heard is that they did think they had the presidents.
Right. So that's
so what, that's what, yeah, like,
that's
so
what I'm would, asking. And
the
who,
commissioner
who,
just
who?
Didn't take it to the vote.
Okay.
I mean, I did hear that they thought they had the president.
Well, it said Hargrave met for 14 months
right.
with presidents and
But maybe they didn't
ADs.
Get the commissioner on board.
Okay. So that would mean commissioner never with them. Not commissioner said, hey, guys, let's go. We're going
right.
to get all these guys.
Right.
Not misleading.
Because that's what Feinbaum was saying. Is like, you know, this is the reason they didn't go to a vote is because the commissioner didn't want to go to a vote.
He said the commissioners.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. Are the ones that are not in
I don't know.
You.
I don't know.
He said the commissioners are controlling, and I thought, you know, TV execs got their part to play in it well. But he pointed to your mark as being the reason.
That's right.
It didn't get to a vote.
That's right. It's been a controversial plan. One gentleman says on Twitter that I am the worst thing about Memphis media because of my plan. You know, which if that's the worst thing about Memphis media, then I think it's a visionary.
Even if we're talking about a better for perhaps existence for both football and basketball, and
right.
we're also saying let's see the numbers. Like we're not just saying hey jump, give it, get us in there. Let's see the numbers as well because they could bear out and be pretty good.
They could
also let's take a chance on trying to get Tulane.
Absolutely,
because I think that ups
rope them
the,
in, yeah, because that gets the Pac-12 to 10.
It gets you to 10,
yeah.
But it's real substance in terms of competitiveness. You've got a program
yep.
that's investing in
yep.
football every year.
Yep.
And proven it's got some staying power in terms
yep.
of finding the next guy. That guy then jumps to a Power Four. That football program's established.
Exactly.
That.
You have a travel partner.
It brings more to the table. I don't know what that bottom line is right now
yeah.
on your TV number, but maybe that helps it because, again,
yeah.
you've got a real competitor. Those Tulane Memphis, Tulane Boise State games, those are just
yep.
as important.
Well,
all
I
of
think
those.
Every year guarantee a distribution from the playoff.
Right.
I mean, because that's
you're
another part of that.
Guaranteeing it.
Because, I mean, especially if you have Tulane.
Oh, you get tight Tulane. There's nothing in there that competes
yeah.
with you.
Yeah.
It really is group of five
yeah.
because the AAC becomes irrelevant
that's
football-wise.
Right. That's right.
Tulane be the only thing holding up.
Look, you're going to have to pay that exit fee. You're going to have to pay it. But you're willing to pay it for the Big 12.
And
like,
back to the point, why wouldn't Tulane jump with you at that point? It keeps it even now that they're
like,
up to eight.
No doubt.
But more importantly, there's nothing left for them. They should look at you as the biggest threat now.
Yeah.
They're not going to win to get that group of five spot
yep.
in the playoff because their conference schedule won't be strong enough.
That's right.
To match up with what you've done in conference and then whatever you did.
Sign the shorter grant of rights just like you were going to do the first time.
With right.
And that way you leave yourself some flexibility. But although I think that year, that date is not as important because the grant of rights is going to go through 2036, I think. I can't remember exactly. Because wasn't there like a, hey, everybody got back together, kumbaya, like we're going to stay together or whatever?
Through 2030, I think the exit fees dropped to $75 million. You're talking about ACC?
Yeah.
Yeah, exit fees dropped to $75 million in 2030, which has cooled it down for now. But
yeah.
they're thinking might still, you know, whether it's Florida State or whatever else, maybe at that point you're ready to roll again. That's, remember, when all the TV contracts, all
right,
that's
right.
getting renewed.
Yeah, it's all confusing. But anyway, That's where this is. Thanks to Paul Feinbaum for joining us there on the show. We got a lot more to touch on. We're going to be joined by Norton Hurd IV at 125. Stick around. Jason and John, trying to find ESPN. Buying a car does not have to be stressful. It'd be real easy. If you don't know where to start, though, Leaders Credit Union is happy to help. Don't just take their word for it. Emily said, leaders made our carbine experience a breeze. The loan process was one of the easiest I've gone through. Made the entire carbine process a lot less stressful. So what are you waiting for? Let leaders get you in that new car today. Get the best rate. Visit leaderscu.com/ESPN and get started. Leaders is your financial champion for life, federally insured by the NCUA. So, you know, this has been a show about, you know, it's basically like how the United States government works, right? Like you introduce a bill, but you have to get people involved. You have to get people, other, you know, politicians, other, you know, constituents. You have to get them as honest co-sponsors to get some traction, you know. I think I've got Jason very close. He's ready to sign. He wants to see some things, but he's ready to sign.
I'm one of your lobbyists.
That's right.
I'm up there.
That's right.
Trying to get you some votes.
Now, you don't. Do you think I have Jeff or no?
I think Jeff was sort of in the same boat. I still want to see some numbers on your plan.
Okay.
Your plan is rooted in a lot of passion and a lot of things that
that's
look
right.
like they fit.
That's right.
And maybe fit better than people think on the football side.
I just need people
what
to,
I would continue
they need to
add.
Read the piece because football is addressed in there.
So what I would do is go to those folks, right, that are saying that this is a basketball first decision.
That's right.
And I will go lobby. I will go work that group for you.
That's
where I'm at
I got
right
basketball.
Now.
That's done.
And this is, again, assuming
yes.
ACC doesn't let us play the race card with them, which is what I want right. to do, and say, y'all took white SMU in
like
the polos,
it.
Even though.